this morning. Amen. I was in my office back there in the back. I was just praying, and the Lord spoke something to me a couple of weeks ago, and I just felt impressed to say it. I'm not preaching on it. I just want to say the phrase, but I think it may help some of you here this morning. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, when dealing with sickness and disease and trying to, you know, eliminate it, eradicate it from the body, you're not dealing so much with the sickness as you are with the fear. And if you can deal with the fear and beat it, you can beat the sickness every time. Every time. But, and it's the absolute truth. I tell my wife sometimes, and even Susan sometimes, who's over member care, but she was my secretary for a while. People come in and want healing, you know, they have hands laid on them. And I can tell almost with 90% accuracy what's going to happen in any given situation. Obviously from God's Word, but two, you can see when people are confident in the Word and their faith is strong and not shaken, you can see, I mean, they're going to make it. Even if the situation looks bad, looks bleak. But then there are other times where I can see fear. And they're saying all the right things, and they're believing all the right things, or, you know, acting. But you can see it. You can see it. And so I want to say that to encourage you, and if you're encouraging other people, don't just talk to them, well, God's going to heal you, God's going to heal you, God's going to... No, you need to strengthen their faith, and if that is doing it, then great. But what you're dealing with more is the fear than the sickness. If you can beat the fear, you can beat the sickness 100% of the time. Amen. That's not my message, but I thought I should say it. Go over to the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We've got something going on. Did they mention that? Did Dean mention that when he was doing the offering? We've got something going on with our life truck. I don't know if you've seen it out there in the parking lot. It's got life truck written on it. It's good looking. And I like it. And what it's going to enable us to do is to provide a greater measure of outreach to our community, particularly by delivering food, showing people the goodness of God, and then by showing them the goodness of God, letting that be a door opener, if you will, to teach them about the Lord. And so there's an area of Jackson that we are particularly focusing on, and it's the Poindexter Park area. And we've gone down there and held several outreaches and different things. But what we want to do now is instead of just feed them one meal or two, to target a couple of families around that area and feed them for 2 weeks. Amen. Just be good to them. And so we've got the truck that can deliver it. We've got volunteers to help pass it out. But what we need is some food. Amen. Amen. Now you belong to Word of Life Church, and Word of Life Church is a strong church. Amen. Amen. And we're not desiring to be strong just so we can say we're strong. No, we want to be strong, and we are strong to bear the burdens of the weak. Amen. The Bible talks about being careful to be covetous of riches, covetous of gaining great gain. Well, we're not desiring to be rich just to be rich. No, we're desiring to have more than enough so we can be a blessing. That is what we're to desire. That's what we're to focus on, is to be a blessing. And the stronger we are, the greater blessing we can be. And so with that, go ahead and start being a blessing on whatever level you're at now, and that'll increase your strength. Amen. God gives seed to the sower, and He multiplies seed that is sown. And so with that, you have an opportunity to be a blessing. And you can go out to the Impact Groups table out there in the foyer, and they have the paper bags with a grocery list attached to it so you know what to get. And just when you go out to the grocery store this week, fill her up and bring her back to Word of Life Church here this next Sunday, and then we'll take it and deliver it to the people out there who need it, and we're just going to be a blessing to them. So I want to encourage everybody to do that. If you say, well, you know, I'm not able or can't right now afford the whole list, well, just grab a couple of items and bring those. We'll find a way to distribute it. But I want to encourage everyone, if you can, participate it in whatever measure you can participate it in. James chapter 4, amen. And let's look here in verse 6. James 4 and verse 6, it says, but he being God, gives more grace. Everyone say that. Say, more grace. Wherefore he saith, God is resisting the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Now, we've been talking on this passage of Scripture for 2 weeks now, but we want to amplify this again. Repetition is the mother of skill, meaning you can hear something or do something one time, but it's by hearing it and doing it over and over again that skill's developed in. You're able to walk in that more skillfully. I heard Brother Hagin say this morning. I was listening to him teach on how to be led by the Spirit. And he made mention of one of his businessmen who was at the time a board member of his ministry. And he was a very wealthy man, but he said, I think he was teaching this particular lesson in 1972. And so he said 10 years ago, so that would be 1962, this particular board member of his only had $50 to his name. But he got a hold of one of Brother Hagin's tapes on how to train the human spirit and another tape on faith. And he took those tapes and he listened to them hundreds and hundreds of times. See, it's like we said last week, I don't know in which service. I can't guarantee I'll say the same thing in every one of them. But in one of the services, we said there are times and seasons in your life where a rhema word will come to you. Well, what's the difference between a rhema word and a regular word? Well, all of us are hearing the Word of God this morning. And whenever you listen to a tape or you read your Bible, you're getting the Word of God. But a rhema word is where God speaks directly to your heart something. I mean, when you're listening to it, it's like it's talking straight to you. It's cutting to the quick. I mean, it's just ministering right to your spirit. And you know, I need to do something about that. I need to walk over in that. Well, this is what this was for him. He knew he needed to be led by his spirit. And so when he heard this, how to be led by the Spirit of God, he just knew that's something that's speaking to me. So he stayed on it for months. I mean, months and months, the same tape. It wasn't a tape series. It was just one tape. And after a period of time of listening to it, he began to gain skill in it. Repetition is the mother of skill. Well, he got more skillful in it. More skillful in following after God and learning to be led by Spirit. And with that, to make a long story short, 10 years later, he was worth $30 million. And $30 million in 1972 is a whole lot different than $30 million today. From $50 to $30 million in 10 years. Well, how did he get there? He got skillful. Well, I'm desiring us to get skillful in obtaining more grace. You can have it. Life can be easier. And so with that, we need to be repetitious so we can gain skill in it. You can have more grace. Life can get easier for you. It's not as easy as it can get. If you're walking in a measure of grace now, you can have more grace. Amen. Getting business can get easier. Dealing with children can get easier. Amen. If you're dealing with a relationships that's struggling, you can gain more grace for that relationship. That relationship can get easier. Well, how is more grace obtained? Well, this scripture tells us that God is resisting the proud, but he's giving grace unto the humble. God's resisting the proud. You're struggling to make any progress at all. But he's giving grace unto the humble. And so what you and I need to do is to find out, what is humility? What is pride? If I'm walking in any measure of pride, I want to eradicate that from my life, because the last thing I want is more resistance. Amen. I don't want any resistance in life. Well, what is humility? I need to find that out, because humility provides grace, and grace is the opposite of resistance. Amen. And so with this, we can walk in greater measures of grace by obtaining and developing in humility. So if there's any traits of pride in me, I want to be able to see them so I can eradicate them. And if there's any levels of humility that I can come up higher in, I want to know what it is so I can come up higher in it so I can get more grace. Amen. So what is pride and humility? Well, we talked about it a little bit last week, but I want to focus on particularly a scripture here that's found right beneath James 4 and 6, and that's over in James 4 and 10, right beneath it. He says, humble yourselves. Watch this in verse 10. The Bible says this quite often. Humble yourselves. Notice this next phrase. In the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Everyone see that scripture? So we see that God sees humility. Well, have you ever, I'll use a sports analogy because I'm a sports guy. But, you know, Earl here, he claims to be a Yankees fan. But he can't be because he's born again. His mind's just deceiving him, but his heart is pure. I'm a Red Sox fan. That's God's team. Amen. Well, somebody says, if that's God's team, then how come they don't win? Well, God's not going to rig a sporting event, but that is the team He roots for. I'm convinced of it. Well, if the Red Sox and the Yankees are playing each other, well, Earl may see some things differently than how I see it. He can see the Yankees are going to win for A, B, and C. I could see the Red Sox are going to win because of other reasons. Well, it's the same game, but it's two different sights. It's two different opinions. You know, if you're married, I'm sure you have this come up quite often to where you're making a decision, but two people will see things differently. And a lot of times you can see things and both are right, but it's just coming up, as Brother Hagin would say, a different side of the mountain. You're coming up the same mountain, you're just seeing different sides of it. Well, the same is true with humility and pride. The world has a definition, how they see humility, how they see pride. And some of that is accurate. We talked a little bit about that last week, that if you walk in and you're expecting everyone to serve you, you're acting bigger than everyone else. I mean, you're walking around expecting everyone to know your name and you're not seeking to help anybody and you get offended when people mistreat you and you're judging other people, then the world would even classify that as that's prideful. And so in their sight, that's prideful, and we're going to judge it, and we're going to get out of it. And so the world sees it that way, and we see it that way too. And we saw scripture on it even last week, where that is a type and shadow of pride. And so obviously we need to take upon us the form of a servant, where we're seeking to serve other people. Well, that's a measure of humility. That's a measure of pride. But how God sees humility and how God sees pride is He sees it as that, but He sees another side of the mountain. And this is a side that many of us, we haven't thought of, we haven't seen, and we haven't, I'll be honest, dealt with like we should. And it's the side of humility and pride that we introduced last week. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Well, how does God see humility? How does He see pride? Well, let's see this. We looked at it last week. But let's look at it again. In verse 6, but God is giving more grace, wherefore He saith, God is resisting the proud, but He's giving grace to the humble. Keep reading to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, we said last week, anytime you see the word therefore, what do? You stop and find out what it's there for. And so we're finding out what this word is there for. And let's read verse 6 and 7 consecutively. God's giving more grace. He's resisting the proud, giving grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, what does this mean? Well, it could read this way. Since God is giving more grace, since God is resisting the proud, since God is giving more grace to the humble, submit yourselves to Him. Pride and humility, this side, how God sees it, is whether or not you are submitting to His will. If you are submitting to the will of God, you've humbled yourself. If you are going your own way, going your own path, going in what you want to do, you're walking in pride. There was a minister, if I said his name, you'd all know it. He's nationally known. I mean nationally known. Everyone here, even if you're new to the faith, I'm sure you've heard of this minister. But I heard him talking about how years ago, before he was barely known, just known in some circles, but while he was barely known, he knew that the Lord was dealing with him about his temper. Well, what is that? That's light. Light's coming. You need to deal with this. Now, whenever light comes, you've got a decision to make. Are you going to keep walking in your way, or are you going to yield yourself over to the Lord's way? Well, the Lord was dealing with him for quite some time regarding this issue. And finally, one day, he was praying. And when he was praying, the Lord said, "Okay, I want you to know, I've taken you as far as I can. This is as far as I can take you." Well, see, all the while his ministering was experiencing promotion. He was gaining a little bit more recognition. God was helping him. But now he was going to start encountering resistance. It wasn't going to keep increasing. There was resistance there. Why? Well, the grace was beginning to lift because he was refusing to yield to God's way and to retire from his. So he made a decision. He said, "God, I know you're right. And God is always right." How many of you know God is always right? If you get one word of advice this morning, stay on God's side. He's always right. He is smarter than you. And he knew God was right. "I need to work on this. If I'm going to keep seeing promotion, I need to work on this." And so he said, "God, what do I do?" It was something he'd been dealing with for quite some time. Let me say this. I was thinking about this past week. I can remember years ago, a time when I was just a boy. And there was a particular thing that I was dealing with. And man, I was doing everything in my own strength to eradicate it, to get it out of my life. And I was praying just really out of frustration, saying, "Lord, what do I do? I've done everything." How many of you know that's pride? You haven't done everything. "Well, I've tried it all." Really? You've tried it all. Everything you've tried. No, you haven't done it all. And so I'm talking this way, and while I'm doing that, I remember something that I heard Patsy Caminiti say years ago. During this time, it was even, you know, I probably heard it when I was 10 or 11, and I think this time I was like 14, 13 in that time span. And I remember what she said. She said, "God can change anything about you. All he needs is one thing, time. Time with him." And so this minister was talking to the Lord. And he's saying, "I need to correct this. And I want to correct it." And the Lord said, "Well, you're going to have to give me time. Spend time with me." Then number two, you've got to cut off any igniters of strife. There are igniters of things in your life and mine. And the devil will specifically put those igniters around you to get you out of God's path and over onto your own. And so he said, you've got to remove as many of those igniters as possible. Any of those things that are tipping points for stress and strife, you've got to eliminate those things. And so he did, and now he's nationally known. Now I listen to tapes that he preached way back when. He's not any better preacher now than he was then. Not any better. He's good. He's not any better though. Well, his ministry though is producing more results. He's having to hold less meetings. His travel schedule is getting less and less. But yet it's producing more. Well, what is that? Grace. Grace is found when we humble ourselves. Well, how do you humble yourself? You yield from your way. And you retire unto God's. And you can switch it. You retire from what you want to do. And you yield to God's way. See, if God's dealing with you to walk in love, and you know He is, when you violate that principle, you walk over in pride, you're going to face more resistance. If you submit to it, you're walking in humility, life's going to get more grace. If God deals with you to bless somebody, I mean to give them a certain amount of money. If you say, "I can't afford that right now," I'm not going to do... Well, if you do that, you go your own way, you're going to encounter pride. And when you walk in pride, you're going to face more resistance. But if you submit to God, you humble yourself before Him, you're going to encounter more grace. And it's like that with anything. We could give example after example. But we all have things God is dealing with us about. And when we persist in our own way, when we go our own way, we're walking in pride. I told this example to third service. I got out into this message last week, third service. But I told this example to third service. When I was pastoring this church, I think this was in the first year of my pastorate, maybe the start of the second. I mean, nothing was working. Nothing is working. I'm rebuking and binding. I'm confessing the word. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm literally, I'm standing on the word. I throw my Bible down and stand on it and say, I'm standing on the word. I'd sing and praise it. And there is this misbelief in faith circles that if you do enough of that, you can walk in the blessing. Well, that's half truth, but that's not the whole truth. Nothing can get you over into the full blessing of the Lord except doing the will of God. And if you persist against the will of God, you can do all the rebuking and binding you want, but it's not going to have any type of effect on your circumstances. Well, anyway, I'm rebuking and binding and doing all of these things, and my mother and I went down to a meeting in Lakeland, Florida, Reggie Scarborough's church. And we're down there for a Brother Hagin meeting, and we're sitting on the front row. It's kind of set up like this, except it's a little bit more narrow, and so I'm probably sitting on Tommy's row somewhere about right in here. And my mother and I are there on the front row. And Brother Hagin, it was a day meeting, comes down to teach. And while he's teaching, he starts operating in that prophet's office. And he's giving words to people. And he comes in front of me and stops. And I know I'm about to get a word. I am excited because I'm thinking he's going to prophesy something like, this time next year, everything's going to change. And, you know, just an encouraging word that God's seen your toil and He's seen your tears and increase is coming. And so, you know, you're expecting that type of word. And he stands in front of me and you know what he starts talking to me about? Pride. Be careful of pride. And I got to be honest with you. I thought Brother Hagin was missing God. Just in my mind. Because, honestly, because I'm sitting there and I'm thinking the last thing I'm in is pride. I mean, you know, I'm thinking pride as you're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. And at the time, I'm thinking, I'm not thinking highly of myself at all. I would beg people to come to my church. I mean, I would do anything. I mean, just solely and out of sheer, just lowly. I mean, I'm getting in the pulpit. The last thing I am is prideful. I mean, I'm nervous before in the back room and begging God to just give me enough information to preach for 30 minutes and all of those things. And so while he's giving me that word, I'm thinking, nope. But in my heart, I knew he's on to something. So I'm doing everything I know to do. Everything I know to do. Well, that's just it. You may be doing everything you know to do, but you're not doing everything. And I'm sitting there a couple of months later, and I come across a particular story. Go over to it. Let's look at it. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. We talk about it a lot, but let's look at it. 2 Chronicles. And let's look here in chapter 26. There's a reason why it's my favorite. It's brought me out. 2 Chronicles 26. A couple of months went by after I received that word, and I knew he was onto something, but I didn't quite know what. Because why? I'm seeing pride as how I see it. I wasn't seeing it as in the sight of the Lord, how the Lord sees it. Same mountain, just different side. And this scripture in 2 Chronicles 26, it turns some things for me. It's talking about King Uzziah. Uzziah became king at a young age, and that always fascinated me because I became a pastor at a very young age. And anyway, in verse 4, it says, "And he did that which was right in the what? Sight of the Lord, according to all that his father did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." I was reading that, and I was thinking, in my mind, I'm seeking the Lord. I mean, I'm pastoring the church. I'm studying the Word night and day. I don't have a TV in my home. I don't have a computer in my home. I am solely seeking the Lord. I got all of that out, and I am praying and reading the Word nonstop all the time. So I'm thinking, I'm seeking the Lord. But I'm looking at the church, and I'm sure not prospering. Now, this is another side of humility. If it's not going right, you do not sit back and say, "But I'm doing everything." You humble yourself and you say, "If it's not going right, there's something I need to learn. Because I'm seeing in God's Word that as long as this guy sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And God is not a respecter of persons. And so if I do what he did, life should be clicking more than it is now." And so instead of saying, "Something's wrong with the Word," no, you come and say, "Something's wrong with me." And so I studied out this scripture and found out that this word "sought" means some things. Taught on this before. But it means to, number one, inquire. And this is where I was missing it. Inquire, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Number one, inquire. Number two, require. "I need you. I need you, Lord. I require you. I need you in my life." And number three, desire. "I want you. I want you." Inquire, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Two, require. "I need you." Three, desire. "I want you. You've got my affections." As long as Uzziah said, "I need you." Two, I want you. Three, "What do you want me to do?" God made him prosper. And you see, you keep reading this chapter, you see how God prospered him. Amazing what God did. Turned the heart of his enemies. Where there was strife, there was none anymore. Gave him favor with other people. People coming out of the woodwork to help him. Gave him divine connections. Set him around mighty men to help him run his race. Blessed him with the desires of his heart. He loved husbandry and mountains. So God gave him all the desires of his heart. Blessed his mind with witty inventions and cunning ideas. I mean, God's just pouring out his goodness. And let's keep reading here. We'll pick up here all the way down in verse 15. You see this invention side. "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones." Basically, he invented the catapult. "And his name spread far abroad." God's given him fame. Why? "For he was" what? "Marvelously helped." How did he do all this? Not because he was talented, not because he had a great education, not because he had all of these other things working for him. God was helping him. And why was God helping him? Because he was humbling himself. "Lord, I need you. I desire you. I need your help." But something happened to him. Watch what happened. "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped." What a wonderful scripture right there. Wouldn't you love for God to marvelously help you? You can have it, but watch what happens. "Till he was strong." "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." What happened here? He got into pride. Well, how did he get into pride? Well, you see an example of it in the next couple of scriptures. For the sake of time, we won't read it. But you can read it when you get home. How did he get over into pride? He walks into the temple. And he wants to basically go into the presence of the Lord.
And he's not able. He's a king. He doesn't operate in that priestly anointing. And so he can't go in there. And they know he's trespassing against the will of God. He knows it too. It's impossible for him to seek the Lord all the years that he did and not know the rules of the temple. And so the priests, who are God's voice pieces on the earth at this time, now we have the Holy Spirit, who's God's voice piece. That didn't come until the day of Pentecost. When the priests were on the earth, they were speaking for God, and they tell him, stop. Back off. Don't do it. Stop. And he keeps pressing. I'll do it if I want to. You know who I am? I'm the king. And he keeps pressing. They're telling, stop. Back off. He kept pressing, and it led to his destruction. Now today, who is God's voice piece? The Holy Spirit. He's come to lead you and guide you into all truth. He doesn't deal with you mind to mind or flesh to flesh. He deals with you spirit to spirit. Romans 8:16, the Spirit of the Lord bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. He bears witness with your spirit, that check, that direction. And when you get that, you got a choice. You can retire from your way and yield to what God wants you to do. And when you do, you get exactly what Uzziah got. Marvelous help. And the more you yield to it, the more help you get. The more you humble yourself, the more grace you walk in. But if you, for whatever reason, and there are plenty, for whatever reason, don't retire from your will. Make a decision to walk in your own way. Resistance comes. Oh, and it's so sad when it does. But there's mercy. Go over to Ezekiel. We'll close with this. Ezekiel, it's one of the major prophets. It's a big book. Right after Isaiah, right in there. I put my tab in it this morning. So I'm already there. Ezekiel. In verse 22, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be humble. Amen. I'm going to be humble. And we don't say that in a prideful way, but we say that as a decision. Whenever I know God's will, in little things, what we would consider little at least, or big things, I'm going to retire from my way, I'm going to yield over to God's. Ezekiel 22. And let's look here in verse 29. Verse 29. Ezekiel 22 and 29. It says, the people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery, and they have vexed the poor and needy. Yes, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. So, are they walking in pride or humility? Pride. I mean, obviously, none of these things are the will of God. So, they're over into pride. Now, watch what happens here. And I sought for a man among them. This is so awesome. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What is God saying? God is saying, I want to show mercy. But if no one's asking for it, if no one's coming in and seeing this is wrong and we need to stop, and Lord, forgive us, forgive them, and ask for mercy, there will come judgment. Now listen to me, friends. God is the righteous judge. Meaning whenever there is right, He judges it as right. When it's wrong, He judges it as wrong. He is the righteous judge. And so even with this nation or with other people, cry out for mercy. God will hearken unto mercy. But God is looking for people to stand in the gap. Now, that's another message entirely, but it is worthy of saying. But this is what I want you to get at. These people are outside of the will of God, and outside of God's will, there is resistance. And God is saying, I'm waiting for someone to come and ask for mercy, to stand in the gap, but I didn't find anyone. Don't give up on your relatives, friends. Don't give up on people. Keep standing in the gap. But he's saying, for this nation, there's no one asking for mercy. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Well, what is humbling themselves? It's praying, it's seeking, but it's also turning. I'm going to turn from my way. I'm going to turn from what I want to do. And God, I'm submitting myself to your will. That's humility. These people aren't doing it. And watch what happens. Verse 31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with fire of my wrath. Watch this next phrase. Underline it. Put parentheses around it. Their own way. Their own way. What was the problem with these people? They're walking in what they wanted to. They're doing what they want to do. And they're not judging themselves, and God is waiting for them too. He wants to be merciful. He's waiting for them to turn, but they keep progressing in their own way. How they want it to act, what they want it to do, what they want it to watch, what they want it to listen to, who they want it to be around. They kept going their own way. And I have recompensed it upon their heads. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Friends, I want to encourage you. God's got a way. He's got a path. We'll pick up with this next week. And on that path, things get better and better and better and better and better and more grace and more grace and easier and easier and brighter and brighter and better and better on God's path. But the devil is cunning, and he wants to get you detoured. He wants you off the path. And he will do whatever it takes to try to get you off in your own way. It's not the devil's. He's just dangling the carrot. But if you don't have any interest in a carrot, but the carrot is shown, and we say, I'll go that way. Well, you just went in your own way. Friends, I want to encourage you. You can have more grace. The way you get more grace is by humbling yourself. The way you humble yourself is by being submitted to Christ. Whatever he tells you to do, don't argue with it. Don't complain about it. Just do it. And more grace is on its way. Every head bowed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. Enjoyed you this morning.